Hi, this is Rabbi Mordechai Becher, and happy Hanukkah to everyone. And I'd like to talk about an aspect of Hanukkah which I think is a little misunderstood. Hanukkah is very popular, and probably is popular, I think, because a lot of people have a misconception about it, which is that they look at it as some type of 4th of July, some type of fight or struggle for Jewish independence, or a struggle for the... I guess Jewish people to have a freedom and so on and so forth. But the truth of the matter is that there is some element of truth in those things. But I would say that the main concept behind Hanukkah is really a clash of two very, very different and opposing worldviews. The Jewish worldview and the Hellenistic or ancient Greek worldview. The Greeks, type of interesting, because they tried to really eradicate Jewish observance. They did not try to destroy the Jews. We've had times in history, unfortunately too many, where people have tried to destroy us physically. What the Greeks tried to do is actually destroy us spiritually. They banned the practice of circumcision. They banned the observance of the Sabbath. They did not allow us to use the Jewish calendar. They tried to insinuate themselves into the purity of the Jewish family through the droit du seigneur. There was all types of decrees which were designed to break down the sanctity of the Jewish people and to really assimilate us, in a sense. And it's hard to understand what exactly was the opposition of the Greeks to the Jewish people. So, in order to understand this, Nachmanides, great Jewish commentary of the 12th century, discusses the difference, the opposition between the Jews and the Greeks. And before I get there, I just wanted to point out that another point, which is that the way the sages see it, they say that, you know, in the time when we had prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, etc., etc., there was always opposition to the prophets. And there had to be, because free will requires that the world is balanced between good and evil. You know, if I can be successful only in good, then it curtails my free will. If I should be successful only with evil, obviously it curtails my free will. So as the verse says in Ecclesiastes, one opposite the other did God make things. He created a world where there's a certain level of challenge and balance. So in the time that we had prophecy, the main opposition to that was what we call idolatry, avodah zarah, idol worship, idolatry, etc. And it was almost like there was a supernatural struggle between the prophets on the one hand, who clearly had supernatural abilities, and the pagan priests, who perhaps also had some exceptional and maybe even supernatural abilities. And there was a clash between those two, the pagans and the prophets. But around the time of Alexander the Great, Alexander of Macedon, a change took place. In the Jewish world, we started to come to the end of the era of prophecy. In fact, the era of prophecy was over, coincided almost exactly with the beginning of the reign of Alexander of Macedon. And what took over from us in terms of prophecy was the study of the Torah, specifically the sages of the oral law, who would, instead of communication from God coming with a prophetic supernatural way, the communication from God now came from the application of the human intellect to the study of the texts of the Torah, to the study of the depth and all the many dimensions of Torah. What stood opposite, so to speak, if when we had prophets, the supernatural opposition was idolatry? So when we now don't have prophets, but we now had the intellectual prowess and greatness of the sages, what stood opposing that on the side of the that was formerly idolatry? The answer is Greek philosophy and the Greek world outlook. And the Greek world outlook now stood opposed to the Torah, the oral Torah and the rabbis of the Torah and their outlook on the world. What was the what we call in Hebrew nekudat hamachloket, the point of dispute, the point of argument? Nachmanides, the 12th century Kabbalist and sage, says the following. He says that the Greeks only would admit as reality that which their senses could detect. And they only agreed That which is true is that their minds could fully comprehend. But that which their senses could not detect and their mind could not fully comprehend, they simply maintained, is not real and it's not true. And he says there's a tremendous arrogance in that. The arrogance is saying that I am the determiner of what's real and what's true. My mind is the be-all and end-all of reality. And that arrogance is something which created or the opposition of the Greeks to the Jews, because Judaism, and the word for Jew in Hebrew is Yehudi. Yehudi means he who admits. He who admits, lehodot, to admit. What do we admit to? We admit to the existence of a reality beyond which our senses can detect, and a reality beyond which our minds can comprehend. And we live and fulfill the commandments of the Torah and the precepts of Judaism is really how to live in this limited physical reality in accordance with the greater spiritual reality. So the Jews, who the Greeks respected in terms of their intellect, who they respected, but nevertheless they couldn't comprehend the idea and they couldn't tolerate the idea that the Jews are living in a reality the physics of Aristotle cannot categorize, that the science cannot evaluate, cannot quantify. That bothered them. You cannot quantify the soul. The spirituality doesn't show up in an MRI scan or a terabeam scan or anything like that. These things cannot be neatly put into categories of science. And that's something that bothered them, because when they saw that the Jews are living according to this other reality, which doesn't fit into their system, which cannot be quantified, which cannot be detected, that drove them crazy. And for the Jewish people, we live in that reality. We follow the commandments of the Torah, which is really living in this world, but conforming to a reality beyond which you can see and detect in this world. This explains a little bit of an interesting idea about the Hanukkah candles, the menorah. Because the Hanukkah candles, the menorah that we light, you're not allowed to use the light. You cannot sit by the light and read by it. You cannot use it for anything. In other words, it's not light that's meant to reveal the physical world. It is not light that's meant to be revealing that which the senses can detect. It's light that reveals another reality, a reality which is spiritual, a reality which is eternal, and a reality that cannot be suppressed and stopped by all the powers of the physical world. That, I think, is the central lesson of Hanukkah. Thank you very much.